All right, all right. Good morning, you all. This is Brother Aaron, a.k.a. A-Dub, down here on the 90.1 FM listening dial at WEFT. And I got a couple of guests in the studio with me this morning. And, of course, everything's just a buzzing around here as usual. So I am trying to get myself together because this is alternative radio for you, right? It's not the most polished thing all the time, but we do the best that we can down here.
Trying to get plugged in. I got unplugged somehow.
All right. Okay, that's better. I can hear myself. And so in the studio with me this morning, I have Mr. David Johnson, who is down here to assist in various different ways. I'm sure there's no way the mic's going to be in front of him with these topics jumping around and he's not going to say anything. but he's also down here to help with the phones because we are in the midst of our pledge drive. Once again, our goal, I believe this time, is $30,000. We are somewhere around the $12,000 mark. And I am asking all of you, the listeners of Higher Ground and of WEFT, but in particular of Higher Ground this morning, I need we have a goal of $500 in pledges because WEFT means so much to me personally, to Carol and I, and to this community that we want to make sure that it stays on the air and we want to make sure it continues to give you the quality programming, the clear quality programming that it brings you, the different perspectives that it gives you as we continue to create the community that we all love and cherish. And so WEFT is vital to that. And so we want to make sure that you have an opportunity to help assist in making sure that it stays around. And so we need your time, your energy, but we also need your financial support as well. So this morning, my goal is in the 2 hours is to raise $500 at least for WEFT, and I need you to help me do that. Of course, Carol and I will start the ball rolling with our own $100 pledge towards WEFT. So now we're down to $400. Right off the bat, all right. I need $400 in pledges to WEFT over the next 2 hours. And there is an anonymous person who will match every dollar that we pledge, and they will send their match to Bernie Sanders. So all of you who are super excited about Bernie Sanders coming to town today, he will be here at 3 p.m. Well, the doors will open at 11 a.m. and he will begin the rally or the speaking engagement at 3 p.m. at the Arc on campus. It's on Peabody. I forget the exact address on Peabody, but you can look up the Arc. We used to call it the Empty Building on Peabody Street. So Bernie Sanders will be here. We know there's a ton of people out there who are super excited about Bernie Sanders. So here's your chance to help WEFT and to help Bernie at the same time. So if you so there's $100 already going to Bernie based upon our pledge, Carol and I. And now we need you to call in and continue those pledges up to $500. The anonymous person will match it. So every dollar you send to WEFT, they will send to Bernie Sanders. So I know you out there, Jermaine and Deb and all you folks out there who are Bernie supporters. I think Yemi might be a Bernie supporter. I don't know. He might have $2. He wants to pledge to WEFT and get $2 going to Bernie. What you think, Yemi?
Feel the burn.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. So the views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers. They do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, Board of Directors, Station Manager, or Prairie Area Incorporated, Charger to A-Dub, David and Yemi, all right? So listen, I want my guests who are here to introduce themselves quickly. Yemi, why don't you go first?
Hi, listeners. My name's Yemi Sosina. I'm a constituent service intern for Carol Ammons, senior right now at the University of Illinois. Just glad to see Bernie's here in town today. The address, again, is 201 East Peabody Drive. So let's pack the house and let's fill the burn.
Most definitely.
All right.
And come on, Dave, you know the routine.
Yes, I'm David Johnson. I do the World Labor Hour program on Saturdays from 11 to 1 p.m. here on WFT. And I'm coming in today just to join a little bit in the conversation, but mainly to take your pledge over the telephone. Please call 359-5483 or 217-FLY-LIFE.
Yes, indeed. And so for those of you who are listening outside of our sort of frequency range, you're listening online at www.weft.org. Those of you who are in Mississippi and Alabama and Chicago who are listening, you can also pledge down here to just call in, and we will definitely take your pledge. So show your love, show your brother, your cousin, your uncle that you are listening to him in other states, and call in with your pledge. No amount is too small and no amount is too large. So please help me meet my goal of $500, at minimum $500 over the next 2 hours. So there's a lot going on. It's kind of brisk outside and kind of chilly in here. I should have turned the heat up or something, you know, but it'll keep us on our toes. All right, I have a couple of announcements. Again, just announcing to everyone that the rally is free today. The Bernie Sanders rally is free at the ARC at 201 East Peabody in Champaign. We used to call it the Empty Building. Doors open at 11. There were some people texting me this morning at 6:30 saying they're on their way to get in line now. So, you know, it is going to be limited capacity. So if you want to get in, you should definitely get in line early. And we want to encourage you to do that. And the doors open at 11, and the rally will start at 3 p.m. Our wonderful, amazing, strong state representative, Carol Ammons, will be one of the people introducing Bernie Sanders. So we have another reason for us to get out there to continue to support our state representative and also feel that burn. Now, I cannot tell you who to vote for. I cannot do that. You know, all I can say is that's who I'm going to vote for. Right? You know what I mean? And I'm also running as a delegate for Bernie Sanders, as well as Naomi Jacobson, Matt Pasquini. There are several different people who are on your ballot. And when you get your ballot, you can vote to up to 5 of the 6 people who are running as delegates for Bernie Sanders. So I would hope that you would also vote for up to 5 people. And I would hope that I would be one of those people so that I might go to the Democratic convention and cast my vote for Bernie Sanders. So there's lots going on in the local elections here. Of course, you've got the presidential election. You got the delegates. I'm also running as a precinct committeeman, which is one of your vital roles within any particular party to try to get people out to the polls to vote. There's a U.S. Senate race that's going on. There's a local county board races and various different things. And I'm certainly going to be voting for James Tinsley in my district, who is going to be hopefully the new representative for County Board District 11. But you'd have to know which district you live in order to cast for the person that you would who would represent you. So there's a lot going on, a lot moving coming up here on the 15th. And early voting is happening today as well. I believe you can vote today at I know Love Corner on 4th and Bradley. I don't know if Brookings is open today or not for people to vote there, but I know should be souls to the polls tomorrow for churchgoers. You can vote at the Leonard Center. You can vote at the Illini Union, which they are having tremendous turnout at the Illini Union already for early voting. I believe the county clerk said that of the 6,300 absentee ballots that were requested, some 5,400 have been turned back in already. And so people are this primary is people are excited about it. That's for sure. So why don't you guys chime in? What you got for us about the primaries?
Wow.
Local elections, presidential, whatever.
Presidential. Don't get me started.
Go for it. That's what this is about.
It's looking pretty crazy right now. Trump.
Who is that? I don't know that guy.
Don't even want to talk about him right now. He's not giving the young people hope at all. Bernie's looking good, though. I hope Bernie can pull it out. Clinton, she's
you just struck a nerve with Dave. Watch out now.
she's great. But being my generation, I really don't want to see her in there being as I'd rather have Bernie in there. Even though he's older, he has a younger perspective. Mm. He gives the young people hope and something to look forward to.
I think that's a very powerful piece. You know, Carol and I were talking about it this morning and thinking about when you're working on change or you're trying to look forward to something new. As Robert Reich talks about, you know, if you want someone to continue the same status quo, then, you know, Hillary's the person. That's what that's going to be. But if you want real change, if you want something new, you're trying to create a particular future around the ideas of single payer health care and around the ideas of free public education and $15 minimum wage, those particular things that are going to affect lots of people and going to affect young people in particular, then you're going to have you should vote for Bernie, right? You should go for the opportunity to bring forth the changes that you really need and that you're really looking for. You know, one of the things, Dave, I ran into a young lady. I was out canvassing yesterday for Bernie and for myself and my wife also, right? But I was out, I ran into her, and she said that the Affordable Care Act and what we term, what we call Obamacare now, it reaches some people. And I know that this is a very, very important issue for you, and I don't know if there's anyone around who knows it as well as you do as it comes to when it relates to single payer. What is the difference between Obamacare and single payer, if as succinct as possible?
The primary difference is that Obamacare basically expands and enriches the private insurance industry, the corporate insurance industry.
Okay.
Single payer is basically an expansion of the Medicare program, which is a popular program for the last, 50 years at least. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just had the 50th anniversary last year, which is basically like Social Security. There's no corporate middleman. Everybody's covered, everybody in, nobody out. That is the primary difference.
Okay.
I mean, there was a lot of people upset with Obamacare when it was passed, because it was another corporate giveaway, and it doesn't cover everybody by any stretch. I mean, they talk about exchanges, but I can tell you from firsthand experience, I can't afford anything on the exchange. Really? I've been without health care since 2011. If my wife tries to put me on her health insurance, she works for the school districts in Champaign, she will hardly have a paycheck left every month.
Wow.
So, I mean, this is the thing. This is, you know, anytime there's any kind of policy passed, of course, there's going to be people that are going to cheerlead for it. And my contention is the people that are out there cheerleading for it, maybe they might know somebody that might have. And basically, the people have been helped. It was basically because of either being put on a Medicare Medicaid program or they got maybe a few subsidies. But those people that have got on where they've gotten either free or cheap policies, and I know this from indirect experience of people I know, is that when they go to try to use it, there's a $5,000 deductible, there's $100 copays, there's uncovered expenses. I mean, it's just people might have it, but they can't afford to use it most of the time. So that's the problem. We need, like what every other civilized country in the world, even some lesser developed countries have, which is Medicare for all. Nobody, everybody in, nobody out. Nobody goes without health care.
That would be great.
That's what is, it, this is what exists everywhere in the world, except the United States. And we've got plenty of money to do it. Don't let them ever tell you that.
I think it's that's like why, a lot of things. That's why we're like lower 30s in healthcare, I believe, even though we have the best country that everyone wants to come to. We have the worst healthcare.
Well, you know, and this is one of the things that we run into. We hear his opponent, Ms. Clinton, talking about all deliberate speed, basically. That's what it sounds like to me. Let's do, as an African-American, thinking about changes for African-American people around racism and all that type of stuff and equality that we're still searching for. We hear people talk a lot about, you know, all deliberate speed. Let's do. I think Sandra's going to take it. Well, this is a live one. All right, go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Aaron. This is Susan Davis.
Hello, Susan. Hey. How are you?
Good. I am a big union supporter in Champaign-Urbana, and I'm also a WEFT supporter. But I'd like to, first of all, to second what Dave is saying about the Affordable Care Act. The benefits are too stingy, and people are being priced out of it. So it really is not health care for all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'd like to, you know, I'd like to make a contribution if your anonymous donor is gonna.
Yes, indeed. Well,
Mr. Sanders.
So Susan, do me a favor. If you would call 217-359-5338, and that's the landline here, and then Dave will take your call and write down your information. Either he or Sandra will take that take your call. And definitely, okay. It will be matched. And thank you so much for your $1,000 pledge. I'm sorry, did you say $1,000?
No, I didn't say $1,000. So do you want to say that number one more time?
359? Yeah, 217-359-5338.
Okay.
No.
Thanks for doing this, Aaron.
I'm giving the wrong number?
359-9338.
I thought that's what I said. Yeah. I said 5338? 359-9338. 359-9338. Okay.
There we go.
All right. I don't say that number very much anymore. Thank you, Susan. Appreciate the call.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, you know, this was a big deal. When I talked to the young lady, I was out knocking on doors, and she said that, look, the Obamacare, it didn't reach her. It was too expensive. Like, it didn't cover her, but then she had to pay $1,300 in taxes at the end of the year for it or something like that. And I didn't have a clear understanding of it. And so I wanted to go do some research of my own and get a further understanding of single payer. That's why I sort of asked Dave about it, because I have a better understanding of what it represents. And it's everybody in, nobody out. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, knowing what the benefits that I have received as I work at the University of Illinois, the health care that I have and that I'm allowed to have my children under up until a certain age. And the cost is so, I mean, some of the things then surgeries and things that we've had over the last 15 years and health issues, I don't know how people pay that stuff. You know what I mean? Without going bankrupt or do go bankrupt. I mean, you know, it's so I'm definitely, I talk to folks in the African-American community, the poor communities, period, and say, look, I don't know why we would continue to vote against our best interests. If you have a candidate who has the fortitude, who has the courage, who has the ability, who has the understanding to bring forth issues and to bring forth policies that would have this type of impact on your life, you have to move past, as my wife would say, the Pied Piper, because somebody can play the trumpet and they've been deemed the first black president, right? You know what I mean? Look, let's grow up, voters, yeah, especially in the African-American community, and vote in your best interest and vote for the candidate who's going to bring forth the policies that are going to have the most impact on your life. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
All right.
Yeah, hi. My name is Robert. I just wanted to follow up on what you're talking about and the people who oppose the single payer thing. I noticed that I can't remember which debate it was between Bernie and Hillary, where Hillary came out against Bernie saying something to the effect of she didn't want her health care being run by some bureaucrat or administered by some bureaucrat in Washington.
Mm.
And the crowd went wild and things. But I couldn't believe Bernie didn't call her on that, because that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about government-run health care. It's government-paid for. It's not like your doctors are going to be substituted by pencil pushers all mm-hmm. of a sudden. And all of his economic plans for it, it pans out. All the top economists and things have come out and said what he's planning does make sense. It's not just something that's going to be given away and can't be provided. So anyway, I know that.
Brother Robert, I think that what you're doing right now is exactly what this political revolution that Bernie is spearheading represents. Because the reality is that this is about we, not about me. Because if he doesn't answer all the questions, we should. Right. Those of us who have the information. And so I'm glad you're calling to share your perspective on the air so the listeners can hear maybe something he didn't rebut. But you have done your job locally, certainly for us to be able to hear it.
I appreciate that. I know that Bernie knows that. I just hope that he's like saving that for their last debate. Like, stuff his sleeve or something. But anyway,
yes, indeed.
Throw that out there.
Well, Brother Robert, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. And you're still welcome to call 359-9338. And make a $5, $15, $20, $50 yeah. pledge to WEFT so we can keep this type of programming on the air. I sure would appreciate your support.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take it
easy. So, you know what I think I would like to have? I'd like to have an extension of the burn, and I want at least a minimum of a $27 pledge from everybody, right?
Yeah.
A $27 pledge would be a good minimum for me, so I can stick with the Bernie mantra that the minimum pledge of $27. So y'all give us a call.
Let's
down
go,
here
callers.
At 217-359-9338 to make your pledge down here at WEFT. Help me at Higher Ground make our goal of a minimum of $500 within the next 2 hours so our anonymous donor can get us to our goal. So Ken, Farinok, Sundiata, Byron, Wayne, Craig, Jamar, Mama, Gerald, Deanna, Unique, Daddy, all y'all out there that are listening and stuff, you know, I expect the phone to be ringing down here a little bit for some of these pledges to roll in.
And if you don't call, I'm going to get your phone number from Aaron and call you myself.
Absolutely. And Deanna lives right across the street, so you can just go knock
on her door.
You know, look, Deanna, where you at now? So pick up the phone, call your neighbors, let them know that we are on Higher Ground and we need your support down here at WEFT. I also have some tickets. And so for we just had a pledge come in. So Susan may have just earned herself package. Let me make sure I got this right. It is a acupuncture deal. Ooh. That is valued at up to $115. And you can get this is valid until 3/12 of 2017. So Susan was one of the first callers. Each package is good for three treatments. And the new patient fee is covered. And it's like I said, it's a retail value of about $115. So those of you who want to call in, I don't know. How many tickets do I have, Sandra? Okay, all right. Go ahead, Carla. You're on the air.
Good morning, Brother Ada.
Good morning. Good morning, Sister Carol. How are you?
I am very, very good.
Good. What you got for us?
I was listening to your extension of the Bernie Sanders pledge, $27 to meet our goal today.
Well, you and I have already pledged $100, so you know, don't tell everybody that you haven't been listening by pledging $27.
No. I got to add $27.
You gonna add $27? Wait, hold on. Let me call you on the landline.
I'm paying the $27. You paid $100.
Okay.
How about that?
All right. We'll take your $27 pledge. Absolutely, we will. You know, is that coming out of Amir's bank or something? I'm trying to figure out where is this coming from.
Your penny box in the back.
Is that what it is? Okay. All right. So we got $27 more from our state representative, right, Carol Lammons. And so that's another $27 also going to feel a burn in from our anonymous donor. And so tell us what you're expecting today. You're on the line. Everybody's excited about you. And I've talked to a lot of people. And Dave Johnson is here, somebody who worked extensively on your campaign, and Jermaine, and making the correlation, because people want candidates who are going to bring forth this type of political revolution and stand on the issues that the people care about. So talk to us a little bit about why you are supporting Bernie Sanders.
You know, I was looking this morning in my email, and I keep a lot of my emails, and I remember back in probably my first email came from the PDA, National PDA Organization, Progressive Democrat for America, or People's Democratic what is it? They call it People. What is it that they call it other than Progressive Democrat for America?
I don't know.
People's Democrat for America.
Association
something like
or something like that. Okay.
But yeah. I had not heard. Let me just say that at that point, I had not heard of the organization. And so I remember seeing the email, and they said, you know, sign this petition, 300,000 signatures to encourage Bernie Sanders to run for president of the United States. And I said, who is Bernie Sanders? And so I did. So I went and looked him up and learned that he was a senator from Virginia. But I had not heard of
Vermont.
Him and didn't know it. Oh, Vermont. What did I say, Virginia? Yeah. Vermont. I hadn't heard of him, and I didn't know what he stood for. And so I did a little more research. I signed a petition. Now, this is probably 3 years now, 3 years ago. Signed a petition. They delivered 300,000 signatures to Bernie Sanders' office in Vermont to encourage him to run. Bernie responded to that petition drive and said that he was unsure, based on how the corporate elitist campaign finance system was, that he could run and win. And he was also concerned at the time that he did not want to jump into this race and set the progressive agenda back, you know, 30, 40 years, by not being able to raise the money necessary to give a competitive race. That is 3 years ago. And when he finally did decide to run and announce, it was almost laughable to the Democratic establishment that he would have any chance in the world to, at any way, challenge the Democratic establishment on a progressive agenda. Nobody would listen to this guy from Vermont, right? So they predicted that he would be 25, 30 points down. He wouldn't stand a chance. Fast forward to today. The most concerned person on the Democratic ticket right now to the establishment is Bernie Sanders. Why? Because people are not buying the idea that America, the richest country in the world, cannot afford to provide health insurance free to their citizens like the rest of the industrial world. People are starting to understand, why am I paying $250 just to step inside of an emergency room? Why do I have to pay that? So people are starting to get it. And that's what the establishment is most concerned about, because I agree with what Dave Johnson said just a few minutes ago. I agree that the only people that truly made out in the Affordable Care Act are the insurance companies. I see it from Springfield. The insurance companies are who made out with the Affordable Care Act. People who are working can't really afford the insurance on the exchange. And so we have to fix this. And he is the only candidate on any side of this equation, Democrat or Republican, that took the time to at least say to the establishment, you can no longer not only run roughshod over the American people, but you are not going to continue to drive this income inequality to the very top, to the 1%. We will not take it. We ain't going to tolerate it. And this
enough
is the kind of candidate
enough
that we need to
take. Yes, indeed. Well, thank
I'm
you
sorry
very much. And I was just doing my enough is enough.
This is my, this is my radio show. So,
Lord
so
have mercy.
Don't
go
be trying
for
to cut me off. This
you're listening
radio
to WEFT 90.1 FM on your listening dial. This is Higher Ground. You're listening to your state representative, Carol Ammons, your alderman, and your organizing duo down here at WEFT 90.1. We are in the middle of our pledge drive. The other line is also open. You can call at 217-359-6545 if you want to ask Carol a question or myself or to speak on the topic that we are discussing at this moment. That number again is 217-359-6545. And the pledge drive is live and direct. We have brought in at least, we have $127 pledges. And then we had another one from Susan. Did she say it was okay to say hers over the air?
She didn't say one way or another, so
okay,
maybe we shouldn't.
So. Okay, so maybe we won't.
Okay.
But that $1,000 was appreciated too, Susan. No, I'm just kidding. we want you to call at 217-359-9338. Now I'm doing my little throwback on the Jamaican guy.
Yeah.
Used to be on brother, what was his name? Hedrington. Yes, indeed.
Hedrington, yeah.
Yeah, so 359-9338. We are accepting your pledges down here at WEFT, and we are trying to get you to call in. And don't make me start calling y'all names out again, because the phones have not rang for those of you who say you're listening. I know Dr. Underwood is out there listening and some other folks, so y'all give us a call down here, 217-359-9338. And make your pledge. And Sister Carol, go for it.
Yeah, I was just going to add that the reason why people should make their pledge, not just to WEFT, but to the candidate of your choice, is because the corporate elitist group, the billionaire and millionaire class, this is not just a mantra of Bernie Sanders. This is a hard reality. In Illinois, if anyone can send a message to the world that we cannot allow the billionaire class to take over the most important offices in our nation, it's from Illinois. We know, as a result of electing what a compassionate, what he say he was going to be, a compassionate and competitive, he says, governor, and turn the state of Illinois around, has lost thousands of jobs in his first year in office because he refuses to pass a budget and he wants to implement the most right-wing agenda in the state of Illinois to destroy the unions and the middle class. So if we don't understand funding our own candidates, funding our own revolutionary movement like a Bernie Sanders for president, if we don't understand anything about that, we have to understand it from the perspective of what we're experiencing in Illinois. And if we don't fund independent radio like WEFT, then the only message you get is from corporatized media bought
go ahead,
and
Sister
owned
Carol. Yeah.
By the billionaire
preach,
class. And
preach,
the billionaire
Sister
class.
Carol.
If we don't provide a format for our messages to get out through a WEFT, then we are going to be subject to the mainstream dialogue, which is usually demagoguery and deceptive. And so we have to stop and say, why should we support the independent media like WEFT with our dollars, not just with our voice? but with our dollars. Why support an independent candidate like a Carol Ammons for state rep? Because I don't represent the millionaires and billionaires class. I refuse money from Walmart and the corporatized media that's going to try to drive my messaging and drive my policies. So we have to fund our own revolution. Freedom cannot come to people unless you're willing to finance it and fight for it yourself. And that's what this movement is all about. That's what Bernie is about. That's what I'm about. That's what Aaron is about. And everybody down at that radio station is absolutely about that. So I hope, and I'm going to continue to listen, I hope that people who are listening today don't buy the message. And this is for black people in our community. Don't buy that corporatized, pandering message that Bernie Sanders don't represent African Americans, we shouldn't vote for him. That is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard the corporate media spread. Because if any candidate is put up on the civil rights plateau, it is Bernie Sanders. And if you want civil rights in this era and in your generations to come, it is Bernie Sanders. It hasn't been any one of those other people on the Democrat or the Republican side that stood for civil rights his entire life. We got to stop listening to CNN. I'm going to hang up. I'm getting
All right. Thank you, Sister Carol. Appreciate it. That's your state representative live and direct on my show. Yes. All right. Go ahead, Sandra.
Well, I just wanted to echo what Carol said as far as the corporate media and to say that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, CPB, used to help fund WEFT. And 3 years ago, they changed their policies that so that only, quote unquote, larger stations are funded. And you know that what that means. That means NPR stations. And who's singing the corporate song? NPR is. Mm-hmm. They're taking corporate money. They took all the McDonald's money. I mean, Mrs. whoever she was. I mean, they take corporate money right and left. And they no longer are funding WEFT. You have to have at least $300,000 in your coffers each year before CPB will give you any money as a public radio station. So they are trying to shut out WEFT and all small radio stations that can air programs like this. There is no community on, I mean, I like WILL for what it is, but it's not this. And don't forget for a minute about that. You know, listen to NPR with trained ears to know that what you're hearing is the corporate dialogue. And occasionally they'll throw in something that will catch you into thinking, oh, yeah, they're a little bit lefty, you know, or a little bit unbiased. But then they'll when the wars are going on, as they are, they have the generals in there giving their opinion. They don't have the peaceniks. They don't have the Bernie Sanders in there giving their opinion, you know. And so you have to fund WEFT if you really not just for WEFT for today or tomorrow. But seriously, if WEFT goes away, it doesn't come back. You cannot just start a community radio station on a shoestring. And it takes money to keep it going. We have a huge electric bill every month. And it's all volunteer operated, but we have to have some funds in order to keep it going.
Right.
We're doing good. We are $12,100 into our $30,000 pledge drive, and we can make $30,000 go a long way. You look what and other stations are bringing in. They're not. You can tell by the numbers they're bringing in. You know who's listening to them. It isn't the it isn't the everyday person who could come down and get a radio show. So anyway, please call 359-9338 and I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. I'm on the board, so I can tell you all about the numbers. I'm the treasurer, so I've got the scoop on WEFT if you want to know it.
All right. Well, thank you, Sandra. And I know that WEFT is has been in good hands, but it's also in good hands now because I spoke about Sandra just the other day, just yesterday at the event at Ken and Farinok's house about how she worked with us at CU Citizens for Peace and Justice on the phone contracts at the county. And we did a lot of work around that, but she was spearheading that, right? And then once that was done, she moved on to the Books to Prisoners Project, which has now won awards all over the state of Illinois for the work and the thousands of books that have been delivered to individuals who are incarcerated. And then she passed that on, and it is still in place. So now she's sunk her teeth and put her claws, so to speak, into WEFT, and I'm very confident that with the support that she deserves and that WEFT deserves, we will maintain WEFT, and it will move to not just be maintained, but it'll move to to the next level in technology and in service to the community. But it really does indeed need, we do need your support out there, and we don't want anyone to feel overwhelmed. You know, if you have $5, $3, what Bernie has shown us and what Carol's campaign showed us in the primary is that those $20, those $50 amongst 20,000 people or 5,000 people,
they add up.
And they get you to where you got to go. So let's hear these phones ringing down here. 359-9338, 217-359-9338. We need your pledge. And we also want you to call in at 217-359-5483. And let's talk about, let's join this conversation down here with Brother Yemi, Brother David Johnson, and myself, Brother A-Dub.
You know, Aaron, I just have to say, Carol has always been a great speaker, but boy, she was really on a roll this morning.
She had some coffee this morning.
I was going to say, yes. Yeah, that was excellent. I think Carol, I mean, as usual, just goes right to the core of the matter here. When she's talking about, corporate campaigning and stuff. I mean, basically, the corporate sector controls our media, and they also control our elected officials through donations.
Absolutely.
And I just want to stress that Bernie Sanders has refused to take any corporate money whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
None whatsoever.
Yes,
and, this is the thing is, too, about the media. I don't watch corporate media at all. I get all my news off the internet or from internet television, because there's a couple of good television programs out there. There's Democracy Now. There's also the Real News Network out of Baltimore, which is really good, if you can check it out sometime. But the thing is that I had to take my wife to the doctor back before Christmas, and I was sitting in the waiting room with my book waiting for her, and they had these television monitors in the waiting room, and they're just blaring out. And I tried to go to the farthest corner of the room away from the televisions, and I was sat there and waited for my wife 20 minutes, and I swear to God, in that 20-minute period I was there, I heard Donald Trump's name mentioned at least 50, 60, 70 times.
Yep.
I heard Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton's name mentioned about, six times each.
Mm-hmm.
And even though when they were talking about the upcoming New Hampshire primaries and about how Hillary Clinton was behind, they did not
talk about Bernie,
mention,
did they?
They did not even mention Bernie Sanders' name. Not once.
You know why? He's not taking any money.
Yep. Because that's the thing, is this is how this system works. The corporate media, first of all, it does have a corporate agenda, because, you know, there's all sorts. I mean, like General Electric owns, I believe it's MSNBC, and you have all these overlapping ownerships, and a lot of them are into like war profiteering. They're into all sorts of ugly things into our society that we'd like to, you know, oil companies and stuff that they have too much influence, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, the thing is that, you know, this corporate media, makes money off election campaigns. That's why they don't want public financing of elections. And that's what they also have in Western Europe anyway, Northern and Western Europe, is that you cannot legally give money to a politician running for office, because it's all publicly funded. And every candidate that runs gets equal time on television and radio.
Wow. So listen, you know, these are the things that this type of radio brings you. You're not going to get this on The Breakfast Club with Charlamagne the God and what's her name? And Angela Nay. What's her name?
Angela Yee.
Angela Yee. Yeah. Stuff. Look, and, you're just not going to get this in depth. They may scratch the surface with something, but you get 2 hours of higher ground where you can bring in experts on particular things and people who are grassroots organizers who are feeling the burn, but also feeling the burn of not having health care and the issues that we're facing around police brutality and all that type of stuff. And it's these in-depth conversations about corporate media and stuff like that. You wanted to say something, Yemi?
No, just $15 minimum wage. What's wrong with that?
Yes. Is that a radical idea? No, right? You know, and I do believe that one of the things let me do this, you all, before I forget.
Yeah.
Because Carol called in, and there's also, in a continuation of what and the work that they've been doing at the Representative Ammon's office with the committees that they have, which is unprecedented. When she talks to other state reps around the state of Illinois, and they're asking her, what are these committees that you have? You have actual people, constituents, who come to your office and they sit down in committees and read through legislation and help write proposals that you bring to Springfield. They don't have that any place. What we have here is very unique, and it's very necessary for us to talk about those things and explain it. But a continuation of that is that her office is sponsoring free math workshops. Free math workshops sponsored by State Rep Carol Ammons at Bethel AME Church. 401 East Park Street in Champaign, Illinois. Representative Ammons is proud to sponsor a free math workshop for individuals interested in improving their basic math skills. The workshop is designed to assist individuals in becoming more proficient in their basic math skills. The goal is to have job applicants better prepared when testing for employment opportunities that require some knowledge of basic math. This training will be particularly helpful for anyone interested in testing for various trade union apprenticeships. The workshops are scheduled 6 weeks beginning March 18th, 2016. So it starts March 18th. The workshops conclude on April 29th. All sessions will be held on Fridays from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at Bethel AME Church. All sessions starting March 18th will be held on Fridays from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at Bethel AME Church, 401 East Park Street in Champaign. The workshop presenter is Mr. Ron Keister. Ron has provided the following brief description of the training. The Math Skills Workshop aims to review and practice fundamental math concepts. We will explore the basic operations, addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division, as they apply to decimals, fractions, ratios, proportions, and percentages, with special emphasis on translating these skills to word problems. So, sounds like a mouthful, it is, but Ron is a really good guy, a good teacher and professor, teacher of math, and he is willing to take the time. So you get 6 weeks of this. So we know that this was also in a continuation, Dave, of us doing the pathways to apprenticeship, running into some of the concerns that people have around their individual skill set as it relates to math and as it relates to applying those math skills to the trade tests or the skills of a trade unionist. And as a carpenter yourself, you know the importance of fractions or some of those particular things. So we're trying to do that particular work. Maybe you could attend some of those and kind of help. Because my thing was this, Dave, was that it's one thing for me to learn the math skills, right? But when you have to actually go on the job and see it in action, like how do I actually apply this? I'm a better learner in that way. If I'm applying to be a carpenter, then it's great to have a carpenter bring in a couple pieces. Let me show you how this is the cut that we need to make. And this is this is what it is now. This is what it needs to be. How much are you going to remove or whatever, you know, that type of thing. That's what I'm trying to get at. But so listen, make sure you all come out 5:30 to 7 p.m. starting March 18th. Free math workshop. If you need some skills, you need to brush up on that skill of on your math, and whatever way that it'll be a practical approach to the problem solving and test taking, and it address individual concerns, providing additional practice and instruction as needed. So come on down there and get that. It's another continuation and an extension of something that your representative Carol Ammons is offering.
And that's going to be weekly? Is it going to be a regular basis?
Okay. March 18th to April 29th for 6 weeks. For 6 weeks, you all. What we got there?
So we are $202 into your $500 goal.
All right.
$202 for WEF, $202 for Bernie.
All right. So listen, I have 14 minutes to raise $48 because I got to get $250 each hour to reach
there
my $500 goal.
Go.
So I need. We got 14 minutes to get to... where we at? 48 more dollars. I need a $227 pledges in 15 minutes. Come on, y'all. Who did the person want to say their name?
Her name is Sandra. Not me. Oh, some other Sandra.
Another Sandra.
So
all right.
We got the Sandras and Susans.
All right.
Donating this morning. All the S women are covered. So we need the TUVs to step up.
Yes, indeed.
And the males to step up.
And the ABCs.
That's all right, guys. Come on.
Yeah, right. Don't make Aaron call you out personally again. Yeah. Just give me a call. It'll be a nice conversation. We love having the community call in. I like Pledge Drive because it does give us a chance to actually know. Hmm. You know, you have a lot of interaction here on your show regularly, which is really great. But a lot of shows, you know, you're just sitting here spinning and you wonder who's listening. But during Pledge Drive, we know who's listening. And we know that 6,000 people listen to WEFT each week. 6,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah, we recently got the ratings company Eastland to tell us what our ratings are, and we have 6,000 listeners every week, and so it's an amazing statistic, really, and greater than we thought it was going to be. So that's from an actual rating service like Arbitron and that kind of thing, Nielsen rating kind of thing, only it's called Eastland. And they assure us that for every listener, about one out of 10 of you will donate. So we need that one out of 10. We know we can't get all 6,000 of you to call in, but we need 600 of you to call in. That's what we need.
Do we know how many people have actually pledged?
Less than 100. Hmm. Less than 100 right now.
And so with less than 100, we had 12,000.
We have had some really generous donations. You know, we got kicked off with a $7,000 donation from people who are supporting public affairs on WEFT, programs just like this, and they want to see more of it. They want to see a daily news program is what they really want. And so we had gathered those people together. I helped do it. I helped recruit a bunch of people to put their money together to get the pledge drive kicked off in a very powerful way. Mm-hmm. So that $7,000 came from 10 donors. And the rest of you need to come up with some to match it.
Absolutely.
So that's how we're getting this going. And we know we're going to hit at least 20,000, but we're still aiming for 30. We think we can do it. Just $1,000 a day is all it takes to get us to 30,000. And so step up to the plate now. Support public affairs on WEFT. Support the idea of getting this. It's not going to take us much to get this daily news program going. We have a plan for it. We're going to start with a calendar portion of it. We're using both interns and volunteers. We're working with the IMC and WRFU. We're working with UPTV. And so it won't just be played here on WEFT. It'll have other outlets, too.
Okay.
And we'll be hearing the Matt Rush update daily. And we'll be hearing about the elections daily. And we'll be hearing about the issues of that are important, not just that Lovey got to be the football coach or whatever. You know, we'll something of substance will be reported every day. And you'll be having the opportunity to tell us what you want to hear about and what stories you want us to follow.
Absolutely.
And we'll be trying to put together a reporting team. So we'll be looking forward to recruiting for volunteers about that in a couple of months. And can I say one other thing? We are starting a podcast in April. And so if April 1st, it should start. And we're hoping that Higher Ground will be part of that. We are going to have Black Lives Matter be a day. It's a once a week thing. I'm not saying that very well. But we had some new programming that are 5-minute programs like Black Lives Matter and Literary Lives, which is about local authors. And those are going to be part of the podcast. And then our Disability Beat Radio will be part of the podcast. So every day, if you subscribe to the WEFT podcast, you'll get a different show of public affairs that has been produced on WEFT or for WEFT.
Okay.
And so if people are interested in the fact that, well, they can't always listen on Saturday morning, but they want to be able to listen to your program, they'll be able to get it on a podcast. So that'd be a really cool thing that we have coming
would
up
be.
Starting at the beginning of April. But we need your support to keep the doors open, stay on the air. So give us a call now, 359-9338. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for all your work. So, Yemi, what you got for us? There's been a lot said here in a short period of time. Talk to me a little bit.
Wow.
I mean, whatever it may be, you know, one of the things that we saw last night, right? I was watching and I saw before I went to an event last night that the protesters in Chicago, mainly young people, shut down the rally by Trump. And they
Trump.
Trump. Yeah, so they shut down Trump's rally. And but it was a tremendous outpouring of it looked like younger people that would be in your generation.
Yeah.
You know, so what do you think about that?
All right, that says something itself. If my generation is having an outcry about someone who wants to get in office, he probably shouldn't be in office.
Mm-hmm. And so elaborate on that. Why is that? Why are you young people so special?
Because we are the future.
Uh-huh.
And I think anyone who has views of his should not be in the office because.
No, go ahead. You're right. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's just a lot. Just so much to stomach in about him right now. Just last night was just a big showing of. My generation, if we don't even want to hear him talk to the masses, then why would we want to hear him to talk over in the White House? It's just him not allowing illegal immigrants into the country. That's mm-hmm. that's I don't feel that's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things that we were talking about earlier this morning, as I sort of contemplated the notion of and his hateful statements of we're going to send all the Mexicans back, right? So those type of statements and build a wall, and then we're going to send all the Muslims back, right? You know, well, when do you, who goes next? At what point, who's welcome here, right? You know what I mean? So it's like, it's really, you know, preposterous. And I thought this was all a con from the very beginning to get his name out there as like free advertisement or something. And now it's turned into some actual bid as a possible nominee for the Republican Party. And, you know,
it's another point is, if you look at the Republican debates, it's nothing but a name calling game. Do we actually want these officials running our office?
No, it is.
You literally hear no policies that want to be passed. It's a name calling thing. It's a ratings thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was the last thing? Well, there was a question to Trump about foreign policy. Look, I tell people to do something, they do it. That's what it's going to be. When I tell them to do something, it's going to get done. And that was your foreign policy response. I mean, I just thought it was a joke, and I just can't understand the. I guess there is some understanding to the outcry that's taking place, and we'll get into that in a little bit. So you got another pledge for us?
Yes, we want to thank Randy Sheffer from Whiteheath, Illinois, for calling in and pledging $48.
So got there you go, Aaron. All right, we got to thank you so much, Randy. I appreciate that. That gets us to the $250 for the first hour. We still have 6 minutes left, and there's nothing like a strong start to the second half of the show. So we got 6 minutes left, and I still haven't heard from any member of the North End Breakfast Club yet, and I'm having a problem with that. So I just want to throw the whole name out there. So I know somebody who's associated is going to have to. Oh, maybe that's what it is. Right now. I don't know. That would be a quick response, right? Let's see what we got here. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Aaron, this is Jim Iman.
Hey, Jim.
Checking in. On the question of single payer, I think Medicare for All is a compromise. It's not what we need. We need a national health care system that's free. The British national health care used to be. They've chopped away at it. Now, Jeremy Corbyn's trying to restore it, but in a fully socialized medicine means you get an appointment, you sign in, you have your treatment, you sign out, and there's no bills whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So I'm opposed to the single payer because it's not good enough. It is a compromise. But even that would be better than what we have now, than the affordable health care program.
Okay.
Second of all, on the question of the Democratic Party, which Bernie has never been a member of, Eugene Victor Debs, the great socialist, who at one point, when he was thrown into prison by the great liberal Democrat Woodrow Wilson for nothing more than opposing the military draft, said the last time he ran for president, and at that time, while he was a prisoner, he got over 1 million write-in votes. And that was substantial. He said in the 1920 election that you don't have to say a man or a person is a prostitute. You don't have to say they're an opportunist. All you have to do is say they're a Democrat. So what we need here, we have to break the Democratic Party up, and Bernie's doing a pretty good job of this. We need him to create a social Democratic Party, and that would give us a third party. Hmm. Also, Bernie was very good at naming all the countries that we have invaded. For example, Mossadegh in Iran, who nationalized the oil system and was thrown out of office with the help of, I think that was, I forget who it was, who the president was at that time. But I think it was Truman, and then it was Eisenhower in Guatemala, with the democratically elected Jacobel Arbenz. We overthrew that, and it goes on. Ever since the Second World War, the foreign policy of American imperialism is regime change.
That's right. I definitely agree with you, Jim. Look, we wanted to get some other people to chime in here. I definitely appreciate your call, and we're definitely taking what you said into consideration, and I think we're going to respond to it here in a minute.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, Jim has some good points. I mean, you know, let's face it. The Democratic Party has not done well for working people in general over the last, well, since probably World War II, really. Definitely since in the last 30-some years. And this goes back, I mean, a long ways. I mean, this is, you know, you had, I think the big surge in popularity of the Democratic Party was during the Great Depression when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was elected. Mm-hmm. We're going to go into all the history and everything. But it's been very problematic. And, you know, Bernie Sanders first ran for public office, well, not the first, very first time he ran for public office, but when he first ran successfully and won, was for the mayorship of Burlington, Vermont, which is a college town. It's, I don't think it's quite as big as Champaign-Urbana combined. Right. Mm-hmm. And he ran as a socialist, and then he ran for U.S. Congress as a socialist, and then he ran for U.S. Senate as a socialist. And they, of course, you know, this is kind of like the corporate media tries to hide this fact. They call him an independent, you know.
Right.
Now, at various times when he's run for office, that both the Democratic and Republican parties, which are supposed to be vicious enemies, actually joined forces to try to stop him from getting elected. Mm-hmm. And they came up with a fusion candidate, so to speak. But the thing is that Bernie Sanders decided to run as a Democrat this time because he thought it'd be the best chance of, if not getting elected, at least getting his message out and starting a movement. Yeah. And I think it was a wise choice on his part. Mm-hmm. Because even in running as a Democrat, look what the corporate media has done. Now, of course, since they can't ignore him anymore, they're going on the attack. Yeah. And as you know from history, both of you probably do, that you know, whether it was Dr. Martin Luther King or whoever in the past who's fought for the rights of the people, you know, there's always this common MO, if you will, method operandi or whatever, mm-hmm. from the ruling class. Mm-hmm. Is first they'll ignore you, then they'll try to ridicule you, make fun of you, then they'll attack you, mm-hmm. And then, I mean, then it'll escalate from there, and then once they finally lose, they'll say, well, we supported you all the time, really. We just didn't agree with everything you said, you know. But that's so typical, and they're following the same playbook this time with Bernie Sanders.
You know, it's interesting because we have watched in a culture and in a society where there are certain dirty words, right, that if you say this, then you are deemed outside of the group. You're an outsider, right? You know, and so first it was a communist, then now you're a terrorist, and then now it's your socialist, right? So now you have all these particular terms that people use to say, hey, beware of this person, right? But in reality, when we look into what is being called socialism, I don't know if you have, according to some of the folks that I've looked at and listened to around this, because I wanted to get a better understanding of what it is as well, there is no real example of it, right? You know what I mean? That people bring up Stalin and they say that was supposed to be socialism or something like that, and how messed up it was. But there are some aspects. This is the one thing that I think of a lot, you all, is how we say it's got to be all one way or all another way. And sometimes we throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. There may be some positive components of several different things that need to be fused together to create something new or to create something more efficient and effective for everyone. So when I think about the arguments, for instance, that we have in the African-American community between Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois and stuff like that, right? You know, for years, many would just one extreme. You got to have everybody go to college. No, everybody needs to go to work. Well, I think you see that there needs to be a balance of both. I'm advocating like crazy now to get more African-Americans into the trades. Well, this sort of workforce idea or hands-on approach to being able to grow your own food, like George Washington Carver said, and to build your own house and stuff and do some of the things that I believe were associated with Booker T. Washington are now things that we're advocating for as well as a college education, right? You know, so when I think about socialism, what is social security if it's not socialism of some sort, right? You know, what is Medicare? What are these different things that when you have a that type of it's called Social Security, right? You know what I mean? So there's some aspects of it that already exist. And in fact, I was told recently that socialism is all throughout America, right? It already exists. It's just the veil of capitalism is on top of it and needs to be pulled off. So there's some things that are taking place, I think, that are transitioning the society into a space where we are going to fight for the issues that are more in line with the majority of the people. And to see what Bernie is accomplishing by bringing forth these notions, I don't see it as some radical idea that we should. I think it's very humane for us to have health care for everyone, everybody in, nobody out. And I was listening on, I don't know if, what news station, it may have been, I don't know if it was Democracy Now, but I was listening to someone talk about in another country where they deem, they said education is a human right.
Oh, yeah.
So if education is a human right, then tuition is a violation of the Constitution. It is inhumane for you to have a tuition cost on someone to be educated then, right? So we are so far away from humane policies that something like health care for all or something like free education seems radical. It's not radical. It's humane, right? You know, and even in a system of our government, in an advocacy system of government or what is so supposed to be democracy, how can you have a school system that does not teach the importance of civics or teach the importance of politics and your involvement in it, and then expect to have an informed electorate? No, that just caters to the masses. I mean, to the corporate elite and to the millionaires and billionaires who shape these messages through advertisement. We're all being bombarded now by these advertisements of why you should vote for. Just really look, this person's crazy. Look at all this bad stuff they did. Don't vote for them, right? But not about what people really stand for. So, you know, we see the importance of Bernie's message, the way it's resonating, especially with younger people. And I think that's certainly something that's pretty profound. Yemi, did you want to add something to that?
Wow. You just put me on the spot today, huh?
No, I'm just throwing you in there, man. You want to get in, you can get in. If not, don't worry about it.
Just a quick point. About his $15 minimum wage. Quick example. The price of food is getting so high. How can you afford to pay for food for your family on an $8.75 minimum wage? And you the price of food is getting so high. It's expensive being poor.
You know, what was that? That was a question that was posed to Bernie not too long ago. He was like, oh, it's too expensive to be poor. And he went on to elaborate that, well, you know, when it costs you, he's saying, look, I'm paying cheaper prices for better quality food, right? You're paying higher prices for poor quality food.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, and then that becomes expensive on the back end of your health care, the food deserts. You've got to travel further to get to them. So there are certain aspects of poverty that become almost a self-fulfilling prophecy where you just kind of feed on yourself.
And it's a cycle, too, because you pay for food you can afford, which is probably not good for you, which in turn makes you have to go to the hospital, but you probably can't afford it. So you got more debt from the hospital bills, and it's just a never ending cycle.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, it is.
So, all right, y'all, we are in our second phase. All right. We are in the need of $250 more dollars in this next hour for our pledge drive. Right now, we're at 250. Our goal is 500. And if you're just tuning in, we have an anonymous supporter who says that for every dollar that is pledged to WEFT in between the hours of 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. this morning, they will match that with a donation to the Bernie Sanders campaign. So for Deb Schreischen out there, I know you out there, and Jermaine Light and Gene Vanderport and Ricky Baldwin and all these folks out there who absolutely are in support of Bernie Sanders, this is your chance to support your local WEFT as well as support your candidate for president. So we want to hear these phones ringing down here, 217-359-9338, 217-9338. Also, those of you who have donated, I did not open this up, but it is Urbana Acupuncture gift card. And so we have three tickets down here, I believe it is. I didn't get all this squared away when I first started, but I have tickets for those of you who want acupuncture. Sandra, come help me.
So we have lots of great premiums. We have acupuncture given by, who is the company?
Urbana Acupuncture.
Urbana Acupuncture. Okay, so they have a $115 gift certificate for every donor, basically three sessions worth $115. In addition, at $90.10 level, we have either headphones or a WEFT t-shirt. And at the $40 level, you are eligible to receive a bandana or a USB charger. So we have different premiums this year, which are very cool. We love our little headsets. So nobody has a reason to be in WEF Studios without headsets anymore, because you can pledge and get them. But you can use them in your iPods and your phones and whatever you use your headsets for. They're not earbuds. They're the little cup kind of headphones. They're white with maroon lettering.
All right then. All right. So we got a we've got 52 minutes. Now we need to hear these phone rings down here.
359-9338 is the number to call.
All right.
And you can pledge online at weft.org. I'm checking the online donations so you don't feel left out. We'll be happy to take your online pledge or your pledge on the air on the phones. 359-9338.
All right. So listen, we've got several different issues, and we can connect one to one of the local issues taking place. We still think that Matt Rush has to go. There's no doubt about that. The Champaign police officer who has been allowed to brutalize some of the citizens in the city of Champaign and cost the city taxpayers some $320,000 at this particular point, and there appears to be more coming that the city of Champaign will have to dole out in response to this brutality that he has been inflicting on citizens. And you know, we really think that this is an issue, because one of the things that I thought was very important as I watched Bernie talk about some of these issues, to hear him say, look, police need to be held accountable. Whenever there's an incident of police brutality, there needs to be a thorough investigation, and they need to be held accountable for their actions. We cannot just allow that to run amok. And he went further. And this is the type of courage that I think that we need in all aspects of our institutions, but indeed from someone who wants to lead the country and address the internal as well as the external issues that we have. But he said, listen, if Sandra Bland was white, she'd be alive today. Let's just be very clear about that, right? And, you know, other folks are not going to go that far, right? You know, we think that it was unfair and it's absolutely wrong that she was treated that way. No, let's just go. Let's cut to the quick, right?
Let's go there.
If she was white, she would not have been treated like that. You know, we were looking at something on the news the other day about the young lady, Erin Andrews, I think it was, who was given $55 million because I think I don't know what it was. Some naked pictures of her were shown that were taken at a hotel or something against her will, which was absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
She got $55 million for it. And then you juxtapose that with the African-American guy who spent 39 years in jail. He got $1 million. I mean, these issues of race, these issues of sexism, these issues are still out here. The class, the income inequality, they still exist. And he's not afraid to go right to those issues. And I think it's a galvanizing message, especially amongst young people who are spending more and more time as global citizens and understanding the need to come together to address common issues and still maintaining your autonomy or your ethnicity and your culture, but also understanding the love and tolerance that's necessary to address particular issues, right? And the allies that you must have to address those issues. And I think, as you said, Yemi, early, although Bernie is an older man, he has a young message,
yeah, he does,
right? And it's resonating with young people. And so he speaks directly to those particular issues that many people like to dance around race and around income inequality and around billionaires paying for our government and buying elected officials. So, you know, anybody jump on in there. It's just a conversation, you know. If you want to go in a different direction, you could throw it. Lovie Smith. You could talk about Lovie being the head coach. I don't know. Sandra doesn't want you to talk about that, but
yeah. It is exciting Lovie's back, though. I got to admit that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's something, you know, we were at an event last night, and there's a retiree, Miss Terry, who said that, you know, while the international students who were present, or maybe even some of the white students who were present, didn't fully understand the excitement from the African-American community around that, it's still something that we shouldn't have to shy away from, right? You know, when you're talking about in for the sort of economic driving sports, we remember Jimmy Collins being looked over when Lou Henson retired and saying, no, Jimmy, no, the university, the flagship university is not quite good enough for you. You can go to UIC in Chicago and be head coach, but you can't be the head coach here at this institution, no matter how many Ephraim Winters and Marcus Liberties and all these, you know, folks that you brought in here to help us win and to get to the Final Four and all that stuff. That was great that you did those wonderful recruiting jobs and Nick Anderson and all those people, but you can go to Chicago, but you can't be the head coach here. That's how I took that, yeah. Right? So now to see Lovie Smith as an African-American to be hired as the coach does.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah. I personally believe it's just a response to all the heat that the university has been receiving around the racial issues with the basketball team, the issues that they have internally with middle management. Many of the middle managers, a lot of people don't know, were galvanizing to file a class action lawsuit against the university. You have faculty and staff who are addressing these concerns, and you also have the student retention rate that's a problem. Let me take this caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm listening to a couple things you're saying there, and I'm going to talk about two of them.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay.
Good. What's your name?
Man. Yeah, what's your name?
My name is Martell Miller.
All right. What's going on, Mr. Miller? Can you? You're a little loud, Dale. I'm trying to turn you down. Okay, go ahead.
All right, I'm on speakerphone. Hey, when we're talking about Sandra Bland, we got a state attorney that's she's prosecuting all the way for this only supposed to be a white rape, you know, raping white women. But when it comes to crime on black people from the police, she can't find a way to let it go to indictment or charge them and let the courts hear it. She won't let the people decide if this man is guilty of the crime or not. She just takes control of that. And to go to the Lovie thing, the university is practicing so much racial practices, racism right now. They're doing something just to put a band-aid on what they're doing. But the sports thing they're using with Lovie Smith, they need to get their football team up and basketball team up where they can keep spectators. That's all about the money and stuff. That ain't about the coaching, you know. They're trying to get the money back in the state. So they willing to pay Lovie this, I ain't going to say outrageous salary, but outrageous salary when we can't find scholarships for local people to go to school, local kids to go to school here. We only got like 5 African-Americans going from this community to the University of Illinois. Just cutting out all the opportunity. And that's what I'm going to say for right now, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the call, man. And I was just wondering if you had any of those wonderful folks over there who hang out with you if you wanted to make a donation to WEFT. I don't know, Danielle, Chris, you know, somebody over there, yourself, $5, $10 donation to WEFT down here for the Players Drive.
You can put me down for $5.
Put okay, we got Martell Miller down for $5, and so that's another $5 that's also going to Bernie Sanders. So I sure do appreciate that, Mr. Miller.
Okay.
All right, now go organize the rest of the people in your house and call back with some more money. I got 45 minutes, man.
I had to go home first.
All right. Okay. All right. Bye.
Yeah.
So there's a lot, I think, packaged in what Brother Martell was saying. We do have, I mean, there was a big push to try to get the state's attorney, Julia Reitz, to prosecute the officer for the crimes that we feel that he has committed against the community.
Yeah, she didn't, right?
No, and she did not. She decided that there was not enough evidence. I don't know what her reasoning was, actually. I didn't read all of the stuff, but it sends a message that I think what Martell was saying, that on one hand that there's prosecution to the tilt from one perspective, and then from this perspective, you know, there's just not enough to go on. And, you know.
Yeah, Aaron, you know, I don't know if you want to talk about this or not on the air, but you were telling me back a couple years ago that you and some other people here in the community actually had a meeting with Julia Reitz,
mm-hmm.
and asked why was it that U of I students, when they get arrested for small amounts of marijuana or whatever, are basically let off with a real mild slap on the wrist, where poor, and especially poor African-American kids or young adults,
mm-hmm.
they get prosecuted the full extent of the law. And what was it she said to you?
Well, they have a future. Right?
Students, who has a future?
The students have
a
future.
Oh, but they don't.
Oh. I mean, you know, this is.
I think that statement is so revealing. You know,
I mean, I think it's extremely important that it's a very revealing in the sense that there's a class issue that we have to deal with. All right, we got another pledge that in relationship to how students are seen. Right. I think it shows you, Yemi, the power that the students have also in our society. And I believe that, you know, one of the things that I have to be fair and say is that, listen, you have to try to, if you're looking for to make a comparison, you have to make a comparison as close as possible. You know, we can't have an apples and oranges conversation. Now, we might be able to have a grapefruit and orange conversation and still make a point. But you have to try to bring your points as close together as possible, or the scenarios as close together as possible, to say that there's a discrepancy or there's a some sort of discrimination in how people are being treated. Right. You know, now, I mean, I have plenty of examples of things that in conversations that I've had with the state's attorney, and I didn't agree with what she has said. And I'm absolutely opposed to the decision that was made to not prosecute this officer. I believe that he should have been prosecuted for something. I don't even know exactly what it was, but whether it's obstruction of justice for false police reports or omitting truthful information or assault and battery for just various different reasons. If it was just to send a message, you know, but you know, we understand that politics are at play here as well, because she is running again for state's attorney. And I understand that. I'm not going to act like I don't understand that. But, you know, you've got a decision that you have to make when you are in those positions. And as Patricia Avery said, look, just do your job. Do your job. You can't worry about getting reelected and stuff. There's a job that you have to do for the taxpayers and for the citizens of this county. And you should do that job. Your job is to protect them. And so I don't believe she did that. And it is, you know, I believe that there are consequences for that decision.
Yeah, there definitely is. To get back on that Lovey point, though.
Okay, all right.
It was good to see Lovey here. I cannot lie to you about that. Hopefully that pushes more African-American students to come back to the university. Because definitely it has dropped off dramatically. Not a lot of African-American students want to come here. They want to go to NIU, EIU. Mm-hmm. And they're not getting the quality education you would at a U of I. Mm-hmm. I would say that generally because I'm biased. I'm a student here, too. But hopefully this gets some more turnout from African-American students, that there is a quality education here. Athletics will be better here, and I think it was a good decision bringing Lovey back.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, what we got, Dave? What we got this time?
What we got?
Okay, this is from George Almazi from the George store, I guess he said.
Okay.
He wanted to say hello to you, and he loves what we're, you know, you're talking about and everything, and he just thought he'd call in and pledge $40.
All right, thank you, George. We appreciate that. Yes, indeed. We got 40 minutes now, and we're running slow. We need $210. In 40 minutes. Now, again, I don't know if the Breakfast Club is just not listening. That's a whole nother thing I'm going to have to raise with them when next time we sit down. But the CWs, the Byron Clarks, the Sundiatas, Martell called in and gave $5. But I know we got more than that. Hakeem, Jamar, Bruce. You know, let me text these brothers and something. Y'all go ahead and talk. Let me get on here and start calling some brothers out or something and say why they ain't pledging no money down here. So, you know, listen, there's a lot going on in the community, and we really want people to stay engaged. WEFT is vital to that, to have this type of programming, whether it's the Sunday morning programming, it's the Labor Hour, it's this show, News from Neptune. I mean, the list goes on of how you get quality programming from WEFT, and you get the voice of the people. And for us to have 6,000 listeners, I think that we should definitely have 1,000 people who are supporting, even at the minimum level or whatever they can possibly give. We have to make this a priority. And I want the listeners out there, the Dr. Underwoods and everybody who are listening, the Valerie Ammons, all y'all, to call down here with your pledges. 217-359-9338. I'm going to turn it over to you guys for a minute. I got to.
You know, I have a daughter who's 20 years old, yeah. And she intentionally did not go to college just because she didn't want to incur the debt. And instead, she applied for and finally was hired as in a clerical position at the University of Illinois. And to me, I think that's really tragic, you know, that so many young people out there, you know, are basically, you know, want to go to college, but they just don't want to amount all that debt and everything. And then, frankly, they're at this point in time, too, there's, you know, the job prospects aren't real great for college graduates. Definitely. You know, I talk to a lot of young people, and whenever I do, I try, once I get to know them a little bit, I always want to impart this information, is that what is happening, it has been happening in your lifetime here in the last 20-some years or whatever, is not the norm. This didn't used to be the case. I mean, the thing with expensive universities, you know, low-paying jobs and that sort of thing. University used to be, well, in California, it was free for a couple decades, actually. There used to be really generous thing called the GI Bill, which was granted to anybody that was in the military. I mean, now they claim you get college benefits, but a lot of young men that sign up in the military get cheated out of them. And even when college was, you know, cost, like, for instance, when I graduated high school, the one semester of tuition at the University of Illinois was equivalent to about the average worker's weekly net salary. And now it's like the average worker's 6 month salary for just one semester. And, you know, this is horrible because in a lot of countries, it's not only is university free, not only is daycare and after school free, but students at the university get paid actually a monthly, what they call a stipend to go to the school. Oh,
that is true. Oh, we got a caller?
Yes, we do.
All right.
Okay, that's 5483. Hello, you're on the air. Okay, call if you want to try back again. Brother Aaron had to step away from the console for a moment, so I was over on the other side. So at this point, I'm going to, I guess, go into the controls here. So if you'd like to call back at 359-5483, please feel free to do so. So anyway, yes, and so your reaction to that?
So I don't think it's a tuition thing. I'm just going to give you the student perspective. Hold on, we get the caller back?
Yes.
All right.
Hello, WFT, you're on the air.
What's going on here? Hello?
Hello, WFT, you're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yes, who am I speaking to?
Deborah from Urbana.
Deborah from Urbana. Okay, Aaron just stepped back into the studio, so I'm going to turn it over to him. Hold on just one second.
David?
Thanks, David. I thought that might happen.
Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Just fine. I'll put $10.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry. Bernie.
Say that again. You said what now?
Go Bernie.
Oh, Deb. What's going on, Deb? How are you?
Just fine.
Good, good, good. So,
hauling some hay this morning.
Oh, is that right? All right. Well, you could donate a couple bales of hay down here or something.
Mariah might have something to say about that.
She just might. I'm sure we're getting kind of short for Dexter as well. Deb has been an instrumental part of Amir's horse-loving life. So we definitely appreciate your support. And were you calling to make a pledge?
Yes, I'll pledge $10.
All right, so we got $10 more from Deb Schreich, and I sure do appreciate it. That gets us closer to our goal. I got 34 minutes, and I need about $200, so we're going to make it happen.
We will.
Well, I heard Martel on there. Martel is, as you know, on the steering committee of Central Illinois PDA, so I figured I better chip in too.
So see how when one of your members make your group respond. I'm trying to get my group to respond right now. But I'm gonna get on top of them here soon. But thanks a lot, Deb. I appreciate it.
Hey, Deb, before you go, could you please call 359-9338, and I'll get your information.
9338.
That's correct.
359-9338.
And just let all the listeners know too that Deb, you're going to be on the World Labor Hour next Saturday on the 19th.
That's right.
So we'll be talking a little bit more about Bernie Sanders then.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Deb. So listen, all you folks out there who are listening, I want you to know that you can go to, there are several different early voting locations. Early voting is recommended because we want to make sure you don't get caught up in what could be some long lines on Tuesday, March 15th. the primary is Tuesday, March 15th in Illinois. And we don't want you to get caught in some of those long lines. And so if you go early, you can work out any kinks if there are any. And it's a pretty painless and quick process. So those of you who are registered already and those of you who are not, you can go to early voting locations at the Brookings Center at 1776 East Washington Street. You can go to the Leonard Center in Champaign near in between Centennial and Jefferson, or near Centennial and Jefferson, over in that's would be West Champaign, Southwest Champaign. You can go to the Illini Union, which has the highest turnout of early voters at this particular point.
Oh, yeah.
And you can also go to Love Corner on 4th and Bradley. So you got Love Corner on 4th and Bradley, Brookings Center, 1776 East Washington Illini Street, Union. The Illini yeah. Union, as well as Meadowbrook Church on Duncan Road, and the Leonard Center in West and Southwest Champaign. So there's five different locations. Love Corner on 4th and Bradley, Leonard Center, Southwest Champaign, Illini Union, Meadowbrook, and Brookings. Early voting is encouraged. Go get that vote in. If you are not registered yet, you have a simple address change or you're trying to register, then you can just take a photo ID and your MTD bus pass works, your driver's license works, state ID works, as well as a ID or something that has your signature. So something that has your signature that they can check, something that has a photo ID, and then take your most recent piece of mail with your current address. They really just need to be able to prove you are who you say you are and you live where you say you live. Okay, that's what they need from you. And you can register and vote on the spot. And even if you wait until Tuesday, you can register and vote on the spot. If you wait until Tuesday, just make sure that you have that information with you. So we want to really encourage you. If you are 17 years old and you want to vote and you won't be and you'll be 18 on or before November 10th. So if you're 17 now and your birthday is October 16th, you can vote in this primary as well as in the general election. As long as you'll be 18 before November 10th, it is so crucial that we get this accurate information out to the public. But it's your job, the listener, your job to magnify this voice. You can't leave it and hope that other people are listening to WEFT this morning, because you are. You need to call five people, seven people, make sure that they know that early voting is taking place. It hasn't gotten a lot of attention, right? And it's not all over the people aren't buying commercials and radio ads to let you know that you can early vote. So it's our job to share it with you, and then your job to amplify that voice. So make sure you talk to your loved ones, your relatives, your friends, and let them know that they can early vote and get it taken care of. Love Corner on 4th and Bradley, the Leonard Center in Southwest Champaign, the Illini Union, Meadowbrook Church on Duncan, as well as the Brookings Center. And hopefully there'll be a Souls to the Polls tomorrow for churchgoers. Get out there and get those votes cast early. And I can't tell you who to vote for, but I'm voting for Bernie Sanders for president. I'm voting for myself, Matt Pasquini, Naomi Jacobson, Marcy, and a couple of other people who have delegates for Bernie. And I'm voting for Carol Ammons. I'm voting for James Tinsley for my county board district person. And I can't tell you who to vote for. I'm just telling people who I'm voting for, Sandra. I'm not trying to tell nobody else who they should vote for. I'm just saying that's who I'm going to vote for, right? You know?
Disclaimer time.
Oh, okay. The views and opinions here expressed, the views and opinions expressed here are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associates, or station manager incorporated. I am not trying to do a call to action for you to go vote for anybody in particular. I was just expressing to you all my thoughts because that's how I feel.
Okay, we'd like to thank Brianna, Donald, and Urbana for calling in. Oh. $10.
Thank you, Brianna. Now, Brianna, there's a story for that behind that one. This is the young lady who was at the event at the Friday Forum and said to Carol she was impressed by Carol and her support for Bernie. And she's a avid Bernie supporter. She's in ninth grade. She's 14 years old, and she is on fire for Bernie. And so we are trying to work whatever magic we can to make sure that she gets the chance to meet him today.
What else? So that is your ninth donor already.
All right.
We're up to $380 of your $500.
All right. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right. Chris Evans came in and kicked in a little bit. We had another walk-in of $50. Lucky lefty. Yeah, yeah. And
I think there's a walk-in in out there right now.
I've got him already counted. So oh, okay. There
all
you
right.
go.
Okay. All right. I was trying. I'm trying.
I know. So, and good. You know, it is good. So the number of donors matters because as this young lady gives $10 when she grows up and can give a little more, she'll give a little more. She's become a buy-in with WEFT, you know, wow. And we appreciate your $10 pledges. I talked earlier about that CPB funding going away. When we have 300, 400, 500, 600 supporters giving every pledge drive, we don't have to worry about the big CPB funding. Mm-hmm. We do, you know, you've seen that diagram of that one big fish eating all those little fishes, right?
And then the little fish is organized to form a big fish.
That's right. That's exactly right. We're all the little fishes organized to form the big fish.
So we've got another call coming in. I don't know if Dave, because Dave's handling the other guy out there. Thank you, Sandra. Thank you. And thank all of you who are pledging. And Bree, I cannot tell you how much you have truly inspired us. And I think that Martell's $5 pledge and Deb's $10 pledge and Bree, but you as a 14-year-old, to see the importance of to not just put your energy and your time and your youth behind a candidate that you love and that you support, but also to put your funds, the little money that you probably earned as a 14-year-old, to pledge it towards WEFT. And it also sent $10 to Bernie as well. And we're going to make sure that he knows that when we see him today.
She's a ninth
Thank
grade.
You, Bree. Thank you
That's
very
awesome.
Much.
Okay, Andre Monroe just popped in to drop off a pledge on his Saturday morning errands. So
all right.
Thank you, Andre.
Right. Yes, indeed.
So, yes, folks.
So we're getting there. We're getting there, y'all.
Wait,
we almost
you didn't get my pledge yet, did you?
No, I did not. What you got for us?
20.
All right, and we got 20 more from all Yemi. Right. All right. And Yemi, say your last name for me one more time.
Sosina.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So why don't we do that? Why don't we just take a minute as a guest? So Yemi is an intern at Carol's office, and we have had a chance to spend some time together. We've been at the office. I go in and joke around with them a lot and try to sort of ease the mood. But one of the things that we've done with the campaign is that there have been so many different people from so many different walks of life, students, older generation, and different backgrounds, different history. So I wanted, after we take this call, we're going to just find out a little bit more about you. Go ahead, caller. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning, son. How are you?
Good.
Okay, you're calling WEFT Live. Would you like to say something?
No. I just want to say,
you
mother
just
forced me to pledge $20.
Say, right. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Say that again one more time.
Mom wanted me to pledge $20.
Mom wanted you to pledge $20, but it's your own $20?
Yeah.
Wow. Boy, we're digging deep into the Ammons coffers this morning, I tell you. Amir has earns money. He does a lot of different things. And it's not just allowance type of stuff, because all his allowance went into Dexter. All 14 years of his allowance went into his horse. So he doesn't get an allowance necessarily like most children. But he earns money, whether it's, you know, raking yards, shoveling snow, you know, whatever, cutting grass. He has a lot of different things we push him to do. And so he's helpful in the campaigns. In fact, sometimes whether it's, you know, bundling stuff or going door to door, he's very helpful in those ways. So he does earn some of his own money. So you're doing a $20 pledge, huh?
Yep.
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 Yep. Your spirit just comes through the phone that you're so happy and excited to give that $20 to WEFT. Anything that you want to talk about since you're giving your $20 pledge? Is there something that you think the listeners should know that you want them to know?
Not really.
Oh, wow, boy, you're just so full of a spirit of...
Man of many words, huh?
Man of many words. Well, thank you, Amir, for your pledge. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right, bye.
I don't know if that's actually Carol and our son, you know, with I really don't know. But whatever. I don't know if he got switched up at birth, but we love him anyway. So thanks, Amir. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
All right. So, Yemi, talk to us a little bit, man. Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from.
Okay. Well, I'm 22, not that old yet. So I'm from the south side of Chicago originally. Okay. Moved into Markham, Illinois, south suburb of Chicago, when I was about 12. So grew up in a lower poverty mm-hmm. neighborhood. But now I'm a student here at the U of I. Senior year, graduating in communications pretty soon, in a couple months. Excited for that. But I'm also excited for the work I do with Carol Ammon. She does great work in the community. I'm her constituent service intern, so that has to do with anything between helping people figure out how to fill out healthcare waivers, implementing new laws to help people out in the healthcare, things like that. So doing a lot of great work there. I just love helping out the community.
Do you plan to stick around for grad school here or something, or what's your plans?
I'm thinking about it. I would love to come back to grad school here. Anything dealing with broadcasting, I'd love to definitely come back. That would be a blessing. So
you were talking about sports medicine or something?
Sports management, sports broadcasting, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely want to have my own radio show, just talk about sports, politics. You know,
you did kind of perk up when we started talking about Lovey, and we were able to mix the Lovey's hire into with the politics as well. You know, a lot of people think politics is just electoral politics, but your politics are it's your belief system, it's the things that you care about, it's all of those particular things. Yeah. So we saw that, I see it as politics that the university would hire Lovey Smith, right? You know, we just love Lovey Smith.
Now did you see the phrase they had? We love Lovey Smith. He was on so many billboards the day he got hired.
Like, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the phones are blowing up down here. That's another call coming in. So I really appreciate that, you all. We got about 21 minutes left on the show.
Let's get more calls in.
Definitely, if there's something else that's out there that we're missing, spring has sprung. You know, I'm an avid gardener. I'm excited about getting the opportunity to get some broccoli and cauliflower and spinach and lettuce and all those cold crops in the ground, maybe get some potatoes in the ground. So you'll hear me talking about that a little bit more. And because I'll be filling in for Eunice, actually, I'll be doing this show every Saturday up until April 2nd. And then Eunice will pick back up on April 9th. And so I really appreciate Eunice orchestrating the tickets down here. So we've got a couple people who we're going to give the Urbana acupuncture to because they have earned with their call-ins. Maybe we'll give Amir one of the acupunctures and let him go get some acupuncture.
Yeah.
He fell off the horse a couple of times, so he's got a couple bumps and bruises that he needs to get taken care of. But we really appreciate you, Eunice, and all the work that you do. So you all can anticipate me being here the next – all the way up until April 2nd. I will be here all the way up until April 2nd, and Eunice will be back April 9th. So you'll be hearing more from me, and we'll continue some of these topics that we're discussing currently. So, but go
I'll
ahead a little bit more.
Too, yeah. I'll probably be back too a couple of times.
Absolutely. So Yemi is my mentee. I'm mentoring him. This part of this program that Carol has put together at her office, because we really want young people to come to follow and some of the footsteps that have been laid out before them, and to really get a in-depth experience as they come here and not just get their academics, but also come into the community. Looks like we got another pledge came in.
We want to send out a great appreciation to Jeff from Urbana, who called in with a $100 pledge.
All right, then. That gets us to $480?
Yeah, it does. Exactly.
All right, then.
Actually, I think it makes... We were at 380, and then we have one from Stuart from $80, and 20 from your son.
Yes,
right?
Indeed.
So I think we're up over 500.
And
tell
then
you
Yemi
the truth.
Pledged 20.
20 for you. All
yes,
right.
Yes, indeed.
Yay.
Oh, we are.
We are hot.
Hot. Yes, indeed. We are. And it's exciting down here. I feel the buzz going on down here.
I know.
I feel the burn and the buzz.
It
going
is
on
happening. So I have got to call that person who said she was going to do the $500. Bernie match.
Yes,
she's
indeed
met her match, so to speak. So $500 going to the Bernie campaign today. $500 into WEFT already this morning. We're really, really happy that you guys all called. I wanted to just say also that I just was previewing some of the Black Lives Matter podcasts that are going to be happening, a drop-in. So that'll be played. It's Black Lives Matter is going to be a drop-in that's going to be played four times per week. Mm-hmm. It's a five-minute show that Evelyn Reynolds and Aisha and I think, is his name James, I think, are the producers. And they came down, did the air shifter training here, proposed this program. And if you are interested in proposing a program, you can do a five-minute program. You can do a half-hour program. I would love to see the Saturday morning 7 to 8 a.m. program filled here. Right now we have Zara playing, which is, we love Miss Zara. She's our music lady. Mm-hmm. But this is an open slot, and so there's lots of opportunities for you to get involved. But mostly we want right now for you to focus on making your membership pledge. So if you pledge $40, you can, that will cover your air shifter training. You can become an air shifter here down the road if you would like to, or you could come and volunteer here or whatever. But $40 membership fee is what it takes to make your initial involvement. We take the, we love the $10, $20, and $30 pledges too, but you do get air shifter training with the $40, which is really super valuable. To learn how to run a radio station is a pretty amazing thing.
You know, so we've been down here, Carol and I have been hosts of Higher Ground since after John Lee Johnson passed. Mm-hmm. We came in and we were doing some of the shows with Unity in the Community with Robert West and Hattie Polk, Mother Hattie, and Hedrington and all those people. We would drop in, and then we did a proposal, and we started our programming after John Lee Johnson passed. And I don't, has it what been about, 10 years?
Well,
has
I think it might have been. Patricia Avery also did a show for here for a long time. Do you remember that?
I didn't know that. No,
yeah,
I didn't know that.
She sure did. Mm-hmm. Yep, Imani's been on the air a lot here. Yeah, yeah. I think, I don't know if she had a regular show, but she was on John Lee's show all the time.
Yeah, and she was also on with Reverend Bogan and
that's right,
and Robert Walker.
Yeah, hey, yes, maybe Zerniel's listening online.
Speak up.
That's
take
right.
a chance that you'll be thought of as a fool, or you remain silent and you'll be thought of as a fool anyway.
That's what Zerniel told
and
us.
And he also pushed the Fly Live that we have been using. He was also the person that really came. I don't know if it was existed once before, but he started pushing
make
it
sure that we had
call-ins.
Yes, we used to not have enough phone lines to do call-ins, and that wasn't operational.
The African-American community, the entire community, but I'm just thinking in particular of Chef Ra, who we were honoring, and we see the mural right mm-hmm. outside there on the side of the building. John Lee Johnson, Robert R. West, by the grace of God, and even Brother Robert Walker, who have all passed over the years, but they were all people who were very involved down here at WEFT and either had shows or did other work here at WEFT.
Well, it is a fun place to be able to rub elbows with other people of other races.
That's right.
I mean,
absolutely.
Seriously, it is a segregated community still in Champaign-Urbana, and mm-hmm. it is not easy to find ways to interact with African Americans if you're white, you know, to work side by side and to figure out where we can do that at.
And I do think that people like yourself who are very open and very candid about your own areas where you had to deal with your own conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we create the context
mm-hmm.
in a safe space for mm-hmm. us to have open conversations, mm-hmm. I say all the time, now when I'm talking to white folks about racism, I say, look, why don't I approach this from my own sexist point of view, first of all?
Mm-hmm.
I have been inundated in a sexist society.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up, I was saturated with that. So there's no way I escaped it. So I own that, and
right.
I try to do the best I can to
right.
recognize it when it happens and to be open when another female points that out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say to them, now, so you were inundated in a very racist
society.
I was.
So
how are you going to say that you have completely escaped that, right?
I know that I haven't.
Right. And so, but you see, these are the conversations that we get to have, and I think this is the type of people and the type of energy that we have at WEFT, that we created as CU Citizens for Peace and Justice, and that Bernie is creating also with the crowds and the people that he has attracted. So, you know, we can have very candid conversations. Sometimes we disagree, but we do it in a manner that we're not, you know, it's not hateful. You
That's
know
right.
what I mean?
That's
for sure.
That's for sure. Yeah, and I appreciate that you show up here every other week, Aaron, and do this show. I know it isn't easy to give up your Saturday mornings, you know, and to make a commitment like this. And I admire all of our air shifters for that.
Absolutely.
I really
Absolutely.
Do. So let's all support them and support WEFT. Keep calling. We're really really, really pleased. We are over $500 here on this show, and we need $1,000 a day. So to really kick it into high gear here, we got a little bit of makeup to do, but we're going to hit that 30,000 goal, and it's going to be great because we're going to be able to get some new production equipment and be able to do this daily news show that we want. We have to have a couple of new things. We have to have some microphones that we take out into the street so that we can capture audio and video, actually. We can borrow UPTV's cameras, which we plan on doing. But we're going to get a news team going, and we're going to get this podcast going. And we got a lot of exciting stuff happening.
That's what I'm talking about.
I know. It's going to be so much fun.
Because it's a little difficult sometimes when I have to travel out to the Champaign Urbana Day or something, and Carol is in here, and I'm calling on the phone to try.
we have
to make it work,
yeah,
right?
You know what
I mean? But there's some other technology that we can get remote, to make it more streamed.
We can do remote also. So we can do remotes. We'll be really good so that we can do things live and remote. We're having conversations right now with an online radio station called Pizza FM. Do you know them? Yeah. They're online. They broadcast out of Allen Hall.
You said they're big on campus, huh? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we're trying to figure out how we can collaborate with them because they have air shifters who would love to have more listeners. Mm-hmm. And they're doing great jazz shows and their talk shows. And we have airtime available, for the overnights and especially and stuff like that. So we'll be able to play some of their shows that they produce. But they don't have to go off campus in order and come down here, which is harder for students to get involved. So we're really trying to figure out how we can reach back and forth to the university without having because it's an important part of our community, it's community radio. So anyway, we have lots of stuff going on, lots of interesting things coming up, and we need your financial support now to help keep making these things happen. And then if you want to volunteer, always listen to, I was telling this morning, this is a nasty thing to say kind of, but a different perspective. If there isn't a show on WEFT that you hate, you're not listening enough. Because everybody, it's not going to fit everybody.
No,
you know, there's something, if you tune in and you think, I'm not listening to WEFT anymore, I hate that show. No, you're coming again in an hour. It's going to be something different,
right?
That's right. If there isn't something that you hate, you aren't listening enough. That's my new motto for WEFT.
I'm really looking forward to because Yemi, like you said, the Pizza M pizza, what do you call it?
Pizza FM.
And one of the things that we have used in the political realm, you talked about some of the dollars that go in these electoral politics, right? Currently, well, we used these live remotes. So we would post up at Mount Olive or at Douglas Center and 105.5 Suave and the other guy, I keep forgetting his name, but they would come down and they would broadcast as a live remote. They just drive the van or the truck up, whatever, and they can hook into 105.5.
I think Patterson was doing that, wasn't he?
I don't know if Will Patterson was doing. He was doing something like that with
hip hop something.
He had the Hip Hop Express thing, and he was doing some of that. Mm-hmm. He was, and so we were doing it. These live remotes are pretty good because then you can just jump in live for a couple of minutes, and the candidates would come on. So we're probably going to do one this time on the 15th, where you playing the regular music and stuff, and people are excited because we knew young people were listening to 105.5, and we were trying to reach them. And so it would just break in and doing a commercial break. Hey, what's going on? This is Sister Carol down here live at WEFT. at Douglas Center or at Mount Olive. Today is elections. We need you to get out and vote. Make sure you get over here and cap. And you just stay on top of people, about that. But you're coming at them through the median in which we know that they are listening to. So yeah, it would be great to make that link up and maybe when you come back, you can tell us a little more about pizza. What is it again?
Pizza FM.
Yeah. Yeah. Where we do pizza, poetry, and politics. That's something I was working on, so I thought I'd throw it in there. Hey, all right, y'all. We got about 9 minutes left on the show. Is there a burning desire that you want to get out there, Dave, before we get out of here?
Well, I think I want to talk just briefly, pick up where Santa was. I didn't grow up in a sexist environment. My grandmother was a labor activist, was arrested in this town, and she was a very strong woman, and I just loved and respected my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And I think that might have had a lot to do with it.
Yes.
And I think it has a lot to do with what kind of environment you grew up in.
Yeah, me too.
My parents both, believe it or not, they grew up during the 1920s and 30s. My mother was from Sioux City, Iowa. My father was here in Champaign, and they lived next door to black people. So, you know, there was, you know, no racism in the household either. However, the neighborhood I grew up in, for the most part, was very racist.
And that's the point that I was making. I wasn't necessarily speaking to any issues that I grew up under in my household. Not that I would avoid that conversation necessarily. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that the society is a very patriarchal, you know, male-dominated type of society. Mm-hmm. And so we grew up under that. And so I don't know how we could miss that. Mm-hmm. And then that's what I was more for a societal standpoint
and
than
I, in but our I know a lot about homes. Racism, being around it and everything. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, children aren't born racist. I mean, it's basically taught by the parents. Yeah. But there's also another form of racism, because you got a spectrum here, you know. The other form is that I've encountered, you know, many times over my lifetime is just separation. In other words, a lot of people growing up in these small towns that have never been around black people before, and even their parents aren't necessarily racist, but they see these negative images in the movies and television, and it's basically they've just never been around. They haven't, you know, went to school with black people, haven't played sports with black people, never had friends, and it's like a fear thing of the unknown.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many students who go to U of I have never been in class with an African-American student. Mm-hmm. They look at him like, oh my gosh, what's going on right now? Like they've never seen that before. It's riveting.
In this regard to Donald Trump, I mean, you know what he's doing. Racism historically has been used to divide us. I mean, this is a technique as well as it's a disease, and it's also a technique used by the ruling class to divide us. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. And Trump that's what he's using. And here's the thing, though. One thing I didn't know until relatively recently, I saw a good article on Facebook, was that Trump is actually talking to a lot of these people out there that support him. He's talking about all the jobs that have been lost from these trade treaties. Uh-huh. And he's talking some real serious economic issues.
Yeah.
But what he's doing is, and this is a very insidious technique, is that instead of putting the blame and the focus where it belongs, which is corporate America and the policies that a lot of our elected paid-off politicians have been pursuing, he shifts it to undocumented workers. Uh-huh. He shifts it to black people. He shifts it to
Muslims, away
from who the real cause of the problem is. This is something that so what I'm saying is he's tapping into something that's real. But he's distorting it, and this is something that we got to keep in mind. It's not just pure ignorance.
I think that's right on. Because we were talking about that, Carol and I were discussing the other day that there is a tremendous amount of anger and frustration on the part of some of Bernie supporters, right? You know, frustrated with the system as it currently exists, and angry about the way the billionaires are buying the politics and Citizens United and all these various different things, the ignoring of climate, the climate issues that we have. And so there's a lot of angst and frustration and anger on that side as well. But Bernie's leadership, his class, his integrity, and his dignity, and how he handles the situation is completely opposite of how Trump does it. And so you see how thousands and thousands of people get together for Bernie. You don't hear anything about these types of problems or people protesting or whatever. And then you have a Trump rally, and it goes into, and people are like, look, you're just not bringing that here, right? Okay, we're not going to tolerate that. Yeah. It's just way too far, and we're not going to go along with it. But he is indeed tapping into, I've heard about Democrats, tradesmen, who are saying that they are going to vote for Trump because of the jobs and stuff that have been lost and stuff like that, you know. So, you know, it's interesting to think about the aspect of what you're talking about, but how do you actually address it? You know, that's different.
If Bernie Sanders would have gotten half as much time coverage by the corporate media, free coverage, as Trump has, I think it wouldn't be as prevalent, let's put it that way. Yeah. It would have probably cut into a lot of Trump's support.
The person they interviewed this morning, I'm going to let you have a final comment there, Yemi. Yeah. The young man that they interviewed this morning who was at the rally, they said, so have you made up your mind who you're going to vote for? He said, I haven't made up my mind between Trump and Bernie yet. You understand that this is the dynamic that we're talking about. Yes. So go ahead, Yemi.
Just a quick point I want to make to the young listeners out there. Before I came to the U of I, I really didn't know racism existed. Like, I grew up in a predominantly mixed neighborhood. White and blacks went to school together. And then when I came to U of I, it was just a dramatic change where racism was so prevalent. And you would see teachers who were white who didn't want you to succeed. But it only affects you if you let it affect you. Mm-hmm. You have to still go to class and just try to just put those distractions to the side and succeed, because you were set up to succeed. You made it into this university because you deserve to be here. So to all the young listeners, just keep striving. That's all.
Keep striving.
Yeah.
I like that in you, man. Yeah. I like that in you. So we got about 4 minutes left, and I thought there would be one more caller.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Go ahead, caller. You are on the air.
It's Jim Iman again. Oh. Two things that I think Bernie Sanders needs to do to win. Bernie Sanders was never a member of the Democratic Party. He's an independent, always was. Two things. First of all, reparations for slavery. He must demand that and return the debates to the League of Women Voters, which always has had the debates until recently.
You know, Jim, I think that's a pretty profound point, because we did have Ta-Nehisi Coates come back out and say, listen, he was going to support Bernie, but he didn't like Bernie's answer at first around reparations. But Bernie, you know, one of the things that you have to do is listen to the complexity of the answer. I think that's one thing that people haven't done. And I do think that you're right. I think you're right on with the issue around the League of Women Voters. And we can connect that locally, because we do have usually the NAACP and the League of Women Voters collaborate to do some of the local elections and the debates here. So I think that's a great point. And listen, man, we've got to jump. I only got 2 minutes left, and we've got to close out here. But I appreciate your call, and I appreciate that last $100 donation you was going to make, right? Thanks for your call.
Thanks,
man. I appreciate it. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you both for hanging out with me down here. Dave, all of your work as usual. Yemi, welcome to WEFT. And maybe we can get you in, do some air shifting so that you can maybe have a program down here and wet your whistle a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
What you got for me, Paul?
I have an understudy here.
Yes, indeed.
Snazzy looking headphones there. I like
them. Thank you.
The WEFT premium level, yeah. So listen, we only have 1 minute left.
Take your time.
Yeah, thanks for the donations today. We appreciate it.
Yes, we did. We did go over our pledge amount that we were trying to get for the 2 hours. And I cannot thank you all enough for your support and listening to WFT and listening to Higher Ground. Your support for myself and my family and for all of us here, we really appreciate that. And I think you should give yourself a big round of applause. We need an applause button, Sandra. For everybody who, because you have invested in yourself today, and
definitely.
I think that your time is worth your investment, and what you bring to the table is worth being said and being heard. So listen, there's a lot going on in the community. Again, make sure that you get out if you want those math skills tightened up. Yeah. Starting March 18th, from March 18th to April 29th at 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Bethel AME Church. There's free math workshop for those of you who want to brush up on your math skills. Doesn't matter how old you are. I mean, I don't think we bring in children in there, you know, little children. But those of you who are, you know, I guess upper teenagers and up, and you're working on your math skills, you're trying to brush up on them, come on in there and get the free math workshop at Bethel AME Church starting this Friday, March 18th. From 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m.
And let's pack the house for Bernie today.
Pack the house for Bernie today.
Doors
open at 11. Doors open at 11. Rally starts at 3 p.m. I don't know if they're going to let me get up on the stage or not, but Carol Ammons, State Representative Ammons, will be one of the people introducing Bernie Sanders this afternoon. Yeah. So as we move on, Yemi, you got a parting shot?
Just thanks for the welcome. It was great.